Congregation, someone once told me a true-to-life story they used to like to tell other people from time to time. And we'll call this person Greg so that he has a name. And Greg would say to people, "Did you know that I was once responsible for inflicting intense pain on my son?" Ooh, that's what everyone would say. And he went on. "And you know, it wasn't just me. I paid other people to inflict intense pain on my son as well." You can imagine the reactions. This is getting worse by the minute. Someone's probably about to call 000 or call Child Protection Services or something like that. And he would continue. "When an accident, an emergency department, and blood was pouring out of this cut in my 2-year-old son who'd fallen out of the tree, the doctor said to me, 'Greg, we need to put the stitches in right away. We can't wait for anesthetic, otherwise your son will bleed to death.' And of course," he said, "I agreed. As I held my son down so the doctors could go to work, I looked my son in the eye. He's 2 years old. And he couldn't understand what was happening, but he trusted me. My son knew that there must be a good reason for the pain that those stitches were causing him. And he was right. There was a good reason." In one sense, my friend Greg had it easy. Nobody likes to see their children in pain, but there was a good reason. This had to be done. This was the only decision that could have been made at the time. It was nothing like the sort of decision that Abraham had to make. Abraham had nothing like this to go on, only the Word of God and a trust in God's promises. And we, congregation, like Abraham, as the children of Abraham by faith, are called, like he was, to trust God while walking in darkness. We're called to trust God while walking in darkness. I think it would be a mistake this morning to imagine that Abraham found it easy to trust God, that he was some sort of spiritual giant for whom this was all just very straightforward, that God's command to him to sacrifice his son was just a little bit like water off a duck's back. We have it really easy this morning, brothers and sisters, because you and I have read to the end of the story. We know what's going to happen. We know that Abram's hand is going to get stayed there at the last moment. We know that Abram's going to pass the test. But Abraham, of course, put yourself in his shoes, he had none of this. He was walking in darkness. You can imagine the questions ringing through his mind, preparing to go ahead and make a costly sacrifice. Abraham's faith put to the test. Congregation, when our faith is put to the test, it involves real sacrifice. If what you are being asked to give up is of no particular importance or significance to you, it can hardly be called a test. I was talking with someone from the congregation a few weeks ago, and this example came up. It's little sacrifice for someone like a Clive Berghofer to give $50 million to the Queensland Institute of Medical Research, as he did in August last year. I'm not saying this morning that that's not a good thing. Of course, it's a good thing, all other things being equal. But to give $50 million and keep $250 million behind, that's a good thing, but it's not much of a sacrifice. It was a sacrifice for that poor widow who put the 2 copper coins, the only coin she had, in the temple treasury. She gave up everything because she trusted God to provide for her. It can be easy for us to say that we would be willing to give up everything for the sake of Christ. But friends, that's too broad. That's too general. The test is whether or not you are willing to give up what you love the most for the sake of Christ. Whether you're willing to give up what you love the most for the sake of Christ. And for Abraham, that was his son. And Abraham's son Isaac was no ordinary son. This was the son of promise. Abraham's faith had been tested through all the long years of his wife Sarah's barrenness. And then finally, God had come through and Sarah fell pregnant and there was hope for the future. Chapter 21 of Genesis, Abraham lost his first son, Ishmael, who'd been his own attempt to engineer the promise. And now he's being asked to give up his remaining son. The son of promise. Abraham is being asked by God to give up any earthly hope he may have had of God's promises being fulfilled. And doesn't God certainly lay it on here? God ups the ante. God raises the stakes. Verse 2, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Although Abraham was walking in the darkness, and he didn't know how it could turn out right, Abraham obeyed for just one reason. God had asked him to, and he trusted God. Congregation, as you know, it's easy to trust God when we're in the light, when you can see everything, when you can put all the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle together. Have you ever played any of those trust games that sometimes, maybe at a high school camp or something, you have a platform, maybe it's about sort of so high off the ground, and you stand on the platform with your back facing everybody else, and everybody else is in, you know, is in a line, everyone holds their hands together, they make a sort of a bridge, and then you've got your eyes closed and you fall backwards and you land on them. Any of you ever done that? Yeah, those sorts of games. You're blindfolded, perhaps. But even though you're blindfolded, in one sense, a game like that is very artificial. Because you know something very important. You know that there are people there to catch you. You know that they know the rules of the game. You know that they are ready for you. But as you and I both know, life is not always like that. Sometimes we walk in darkness when we can't see and we can't understand and we don't understand. It could be right now this morning you're struggling with a test from God. You're being asked to give up something which is costly to you and you're hesitating. You're not sure of whether or not you can trust God. You're unsure of the consequences. What will happen? Well, perhaps you're struggling with a question about why. Why this particular thing has happened to you or to someone that you love. And you can't see the reason. In fact, it seems like the very opposite of what you'd expect is happening. The very opposite of what you'd expect if God was in control is what's happening. And it seems like God is asleep. God's doing nothing. It is easy to trust God when you have all the reasons. You can see all the reasons. But the reasons are not always ours to have. Abraham didn't know why, but he resolved to trust God through the darkness, to trust that God would come through for him, that the story wouldn't end his way, but it would end God's way. If you're here this morning and you're finding it difficult to trust God, I have some advice for you. I have a recommendation for you. That is to read ahead to the end of the story. Time and time again in the Bible, we have an opportunity to read ahead to the end of the story. As you run the Christian race, you are not running it alone. You're in the presence of a great number of witnesses. We read of some of those witnesses with the children, those examples of the faith from Hebrews 11. Think of David, who trusted God as he went up against a giant. And God came through for him and gave him victory. Or Noah, who trusted God to built an ark to escape from a natural disaster that nobody had ever heard of before. Moses, who trusted God and gave up political power, royal power in Egypt, in order to be mistreated. Abraham, who trusted God and offered Isaac, the son of promise, as a sacrifice. And then there is Jesus. Jesus, who gave up his will to do his Father's will, who committed his spirit into the hands of his Father, and was raised from the dead on the third day. Each of these people, believers, just like you and me, were walking in darkness. They were living by faith and not by sight. They didn't have all the answers. But these heroes of the faith trusted God, and God delivered them. We can read ahead to the end of their stories, and in doing so, be encouraged that God will take care of the ending of our stories as well. For God is faithful, friends. And you can trust Him even when you're walking in darkness. We can also trust God in the light of His promise. Trust God while walking in the darkness, but we can also trust God in the light of His promise. Congregation, it was the promises of God that sustained Abraham during this dark time in his life, this dark episode. When his other son, his first son Ishmael, through that other woman, had been sent away, God had given Abraham a promise. This is what God had said to him: "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." And so it was the promise of God that sustained Abraham as he cut the wood and set off on the journey. It was the promise of God that enabled Abraham to answer in verse 5 to the servants, "We will worship and then we will come back to you." It was only the promise of God by which Abraham could assure his son in verse 8 that God Himself will provide the lamb, my son. It was only God's promise, more specifically God's character, on which Abraham could depend. As Abraham had said when pleading for the Lord a little earlier not to destroy Sodom, "Will not the judge of the whole earth do what is right?" To ask a rhetorical question like that is to answer it, isn't it? You know, sometimes we overgeneralize a little. Perhaps we overgeneralize like this to our children especially. We say that God is so powerful that God can do anything. You ever told your children that? God is so powerful that He can do anything. But you know, strictly speaking, that isn't true. God cannot act contrary to His character. God cannot lie. God cannot go back on His promises. God cannot do anything that isn't right. And so Abraham could trust that even though he was being asked to do something that was contrary to everything he thought, that there was a reason. And God would be true to His word. Because someone might still ask this morning, how could God have asked Abraham to do such a thing? To give up his son, to sacrifice his son as a burnt offering? I can answer that only in part this morning. There is a sense that as real as the test was for Abraham, it was always going to stop. God tested Abraham not to see what Abraham would do. Because God knows everything. He knows everything that will happen. But the test was more to confirm and nurture Abraham's faith and trust in God. It was for Abraham's benefit that he got this far. Which is why when Abraham's hand, when his arm was raised with a knife in his hand, the angel called out to him, "Abraham, Abraham," verse 12, "do not lay a hand on the boy. Don't do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your only son." But in the other sense, how such a command could even be given in the first place, I'm not sure that this side of heaven there will ever be a completely satisfactory answer. Of course, the same is true of the problem of evil more generally. Why is it that God allows evil in the world if he is all-loving and all-powerful and all-knowing? Why did God send so much rain in 2011 that lives were lost in our floods right here in our city? Why does God permit MH17, a civilian passenger plane, to be shot out of the skies in Ukraine with everybody lost? I honestly don't know. And that's not because it's a question that I've avoided reflecting on in some depth. But this I do know, that God must have had a morally sufficient reason to have allowed it. Just hasn't told me what it is. And maybe God hasn't told me what it is because it's beyond my ability to comprehend, to understand. Very possibly so. I can know in part, perhaps like my friend Greg, who allowed intense pain to be inflicted upon his son for good reason, even though his son at the time didn't understand why. And friends, like Abraham, we need to trust God, that God is good. That is our confidence. That's our foundation, that God is good and that there is a reason, even if I don't know what it is. And friends, living in the light of the New Testament, there's one more thing that we see in relation to this question. That God did not ask Abraham to do something which he was unwilling to do himself. For that is what God did. He gave up his son, his only son, Jesus, whom he loved. And this time the hand with a knife, was not stayed. And Jesus was sacrificed so that you and I could be redeemed, so that we could be set free. Abraham saw this in part and from a distance. When God provided a substitute sacrifice, verse 13, the ram caught in the thicket. And Abraham called that place, verse 14, "the Lord will provide." Literally, Jehovah Jireh. You remember the song. On the mountain of the Lord it would be provided. And friends, in the death of Jesus Christ, the substitute Lamb of God, it was provided and it has been provided for us. And so the reason that there is even a faith that we can have and that we can trust God and His promises is because God has been faithful to His promise. And that the death of Jesus was not the end of the story. I read to the children before that one of the most fascinating verses, I think, in Hebrews chapter 11, speaking of all those people who had faith. Hebrews 11 verse 19, Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. That's the reason why Abraham could go ahead with this and be willing to sacrifice Isaac, even though he was the son of promise. Oh, friends, what faithful reasoning Abraham employed. That if this son, Isaac, was by the promise of God, the one through whom God would raise up a great nation to bless all the earth, then even if Isaac were to die, that could not be the end of it. Abraham reasoned that God would raise the son of promise from the dead in order to keep his promise. And God did resurrect Isaac back from the dead, figuratively speaking. And then 2,000 years later, God did it again. The Son of all promise, Jesus Christ, was sacrificed. No substitute this time, so that Jesus could be our substitute. And on the third day, God raised him from the dead. And so, we can trust God today because God is faithful to his promises. Always. God's promises are not limited to special people. They're not limited to extraordinary people. They're not limited to those who are giants in the faith. God's promises go out to ordinary people. People like you, people like me. People who struggle. People who cry out in the darkness. People who don't know all the reasons. People who are willing to trust God even while they walk in darkness. Congregation, the promise God made to Abraham extends to and includes us today. Verse 17, that God will surely bless us and make our descendants numerous and fill the earth. Verse 18, through us and through our children, all nations on the earth will be blessed. And so, as we seek to be faithful in the kingdom of God, discipling the nations in the Great Commission, beginning in our homes and overflowing into the lives of all those around us, life as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus Christ, requires sacrifices to be made. You may be asked to give up that which you love the most for the sake of the kingdom of God. To live by faith, not by sight. But remember, God will provide. God has provided. And you can trust Him even when you're walking in the darkness, because God is faithful to His promises. Always. Amen.